Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior, training, or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you. Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show, so be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
Hey, good morning, y'all. I'm Martha Norwalk, welcoming you to the second hour of this week's edition of Animal World. We're here every Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150. You can tune us in on the radio dial. You can tune us in on the internet via streaming audio. That means you can share us with your family and friends around the country, around the world, if they've got internet access. And the best way to pull up the stream, go to the Animal World website. That would be Martha Norwalk. .com. Click on the Listen Live link upper right. That will click you through to the 1150 KKNW website. Click on Listen upper left and then Listen Online, and you will be all set to stream the show. Okie dokie then. We can find us on Facebook as well. Go to Martha Norwalk's Animal World, search on Facebook. You'll find us there. And gosh, it is a fourth Sunday of a five Sunday month. And that means it's a teaching show with me and Walter Stoffel as my guest. He is the author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. And we just kind of briefly reviewed about Lance and Walter's incredible story. But you just have to read it to believe it, because the two of them were nuts together. What a life they had together. And now Lance is helping others, because we're sharing how to deal with a lot of these problems and so forth. So now, of course, I had to take a brief time out because more information was coming in. And because I told you before we broke for the top of the hour that where I was going to pick up was finishing up with the kind of separation anxiety general stuff that you teach and do. And so I just reminded everybody about when dogs that have separation issues or anxiety, when they react, usually within 30 minutes of the owner leaving or within 30 minutes of their anticipated return. So we talked about eliminating the emotional comings and goings and doing the 15-minute ignore when you come home. And then I was going to go into the rest of the rehab program for true, you know, separation issues. But what I got was, okay, we need to go back to the beginning with puppies and talk about crates and crate training. So I'm going to add that now because it's appropriate at this point. Because so now, a lot of times when dogs have, and I guess I should just say that separation anxiety, big words used a lot. But to me, there is a difference between a true separation anxiety and what I now call separation issues. A true separation anxiety, these are dogs that I believe have something significantly out of whack on a physical level. So there's a hormonal imbalance. They have the Pleckner syndrome imbalance. Or they have thyroid issues, can be involved. So they're, and these are the dogs that have weird signs in that you can't, if you leave them, yet they get really upset. But these are the dogs that also have kind of a claustrophobic behavior. Dogs are den animals by nature, and which is why we tend to want to crate train them when they're puppies. Because in their wolf world of being wild canines, they den up together as a family. And if the parents are out gone, then the puppies are all in the den to be safe. So they take to a warm, cozy, crate-like environment if it is introduced and taught properly. But often what happens, Walter and Nathan, is I'll get contacted about an older dog that has separation issues. And sometimes, and when why I'm referring to the crate, is dogs that have true separation anxiety. These dogs are not comfortable in crates. Now, they might be some of the time if their owner's there, but they are really generally uncomfortable in crates. And these are the dogs that will break out of the crates. Well, they're real fussy in the crate. They drool, they pant, they circle, they'll destroy anything in the crate. They'll often pee and poop in the crate. If you've covered the crate with something, they try to get a hold of it and pull it in. They actually break crates and destroy them. And in the fiberglass, like very kennel type crates, which are the fiberglass and have the wire door, what dogs will do is with their jaws, they grab the latch from the inside and they actually pull that big wire door in and bend it enough to then push out and get through it. So they have extreme behavior, and claustrophobic tendencies are usually part of it. Okay. Now, so if you have a dog that has true separation anxiety, then we usually have to do more Well, now that's changing a little bit. We in the past have always had to do more like blood tests, checking thyroid, maybe trying diagnosing the Pleckner syndrome, and balancing the hormones and the chemical imbalances that can relate to this the separation anxiety. The reason I said we have to address physical issues and do diagnosing, but that's starting to change. And the reason it's starting to change is because I continue to learn and grow and more stuff comes to me. Well, one of the most recent big missing pieces of the pie that came was Dr. Nels Rasmussen and his bioenergetic synchronization technique. And I'm just going to throw this in at this moment because it popped in. One of the things he's starting to make some real good progress with when he does regular treatments on the dogs, you know, it could be remotely or in person, that it works equally well either way, is the separation stuff. He's been working with some dogs that the ones that they have to be in the owner's lap all the time. They follow him everywhere. They can't be separated for a second. Well, he's had some of these cases now where he does the bioenergetic synchronization technique, and then his clients are showing him, sending him pictures of the dog that used to be so clingy and was only in the lap. There's the dog asleep on the chair in the living room, and the owner's off on the other side of the house. So Dr. Nell's work is helping some of these dogs. It just hasn't been long enough for us to have enough cases and enough variance in the cases to know how much and when this is helping. But just so you know, Dr. Nell's is an option and his work can be helpful in addressing separation issues and anxiety. Anyway, so what I see most often these days with separation stuff is not true separation anxiety. It's what I just call separation issues. And a lot of it is because of COVID and the lockdowns and all of that. You know, when the pandemic hit, when everything got locked down, from my point of view, everybody went out and rescued dogs or bought puppies. Some kennels were just empty. Rescues were empty. And none of these people knew what they were doing. And they, anyway, I really had to help people. But I continue even now to see dogs with really unusual and bizarre separation issues because of the fact that, you know, we talked about this early on in the general dog information. You know, dogs are pack animals. They stay with their pack. They're territorial. They stay on their territory. And in the dog world, there is no separation. They always have company. They're with somebody. Dogs, you know, in the wild are not solo like a lot of cats are, but dogs are not. So they have to learn to be separated. Okay. So that's what's bringing me to where I'm going to go now with this and take some more time here. There is a kind of a rehab little program, that behavior modification program I have people go through to get their dogs to stay at home okay when we're dealing with adult dogs and that we have some serious issues going on. But before I can get to that, I just, you know, got told that's what I got during the break, is that we have to talk about the crate training and work. Because many times when I'm contacted about an older dog and we've got destructive chewing and major reactive behavior when the people leave, their first thought and what a lot of people tell them is, oh, you need to crate the dog. Well, I just told you dogs take naturally to crate training because they're den animals. But what I'm also going to tell you is that with many dogs, there's a limited window of how and when you can start or use the crate. So I absolutely am a fan of crates. I think they are gifts from God. And I think that all puppies should be crate trained and raised with crates. And if I was God, that would be the way it is. Okay, but I'm not. But anyway, so crate training, really important. However, when I get to an older dog, and this is probably at least like a year or older, but it could apply to a teenager too. Once they get past the certain stage and then we get to an older dog, if they were not crate trained as puppies, Now, if they were crate trained as puppies and had just been weaned off the crate later on, you can go back to it. It's like riding a bike with a human. You know, you don't ride for a while. Well, you get on, pretty, you remember how to do it and it works. Well, so if they were crate trained as young dogs and you used a crate when they were young, you didn't use it anymore. They're older now. We have some issues. We can go back and resurrect the crate. But with an adult dog that has issues, if they were never crate trained as a puppy, that's never a first line option for me in dealing with separation issues. Because A, when they weren't crate trained as puppies and it wasn't a natural den behavior that developed with that training, then because of the separation issues, we could easily have the claustrophobic type stuff. And many times I find it is simply not worth the struggle and what you have to go through to crate train an older dog. And sometimes it's impossible without being extremely cruel and abusive. And sometimes it's just plain impossible. So you training for a crate with an older dog with separation issues is not the first line of defense. And it's always on the back burner. And I don't ever even remember a case that I used a crate to solve the problems with an older adult dog. Does that all make sense to you too, Walter?
Yes.
And well, okay.
Yes.
All right. So I think before we can go to the rest of the separation stuff, we have to talk to everybody out there that has a puppy or is going to get a puppy sometime in their life. You need to crate train. Okay. So the basics about yes.
Are we still talking about crate training right now?
Yeah.
Okay. I did have a question. You might get to it, but
yeah.
Go ahead. The difference between, you know, those kind of crates that are more like a box with, you know, a fence in the front, you know, there's
I think that it's just the style of crate.
Yeah.
I was just do that.
Okay.
Okay. So Nathan's right. There's different kinds of crates. Now, the traditional crate that I grew up with is your airlines approved type fiberglass crate. You know, they're solid and have the wire door. The one I was just talking about, the dogs pull the doors in on.
Only room for light to come in from the front.
Right. Now, then there are the collapsible wire crates. And there's fabric crates. You generally don't use fabric crates for long-term confinement in the home. Those are more travel crates. But there are some collapsible fabric crates that can be used as confinement with a dog that's already crate trained and so forth. So you have the wire crate, you have the fiberglass crates. Maybe it's just because of what I started with and what I grew up with, but I tend to prefer the solid fiberglass crates. Now, I don't know, is it more den light to the dogs? Maybe. If you ever have to fly them, you got to fly in that kind of a crate. You can't fly dogs in a wire crate. Because they go in, you know, in baggage, and you can't use a crate that could be flattened up against all kinds of stuff, and they'd be cut off with air. Anyway, the solid crates are designed to be used on planes and safely. So, I like using a solid crate to start them off with, and then often with my dogs, I've had a solid crate that I started them off with, but then I also have had a collapsible wire crate and used that for traveling. Like when I would travel with my dog and needed a way to confine them, you know, traveling, then I'd use the wire crate. But you can use either, and sometimes there's a difference as to how the dogs do in the crate. Some like the more solid crate. Some prefer the wire crate. And then size of the crate makes a difference. Generally speaking, you need enough room for the dog to stand up, turn around, and lay down. Most people get much bigger crates than that, which is okay, except when it comes to house training. And if you're a crate training as a puppy and on house training, that the smaller the space, the better. But if you don't want to buy a crate for the size of your dog when it's a puppy and then have to buy another crate when they get older, then you start with a crate that is large enough to work for the dog when they reach full size. But with some breeds, you'd have to make the crate smaller when they're young. So some of those wire crates now come with a partition you can put in, a wire partition that goes inside the crate. So you can make it like half the size. so you could have them in half the size. And the reason that you sometimes have to make the crate smaller for puppies is that the general rule of thumb is they won't pee or poop in an area that they have to stay in. But if the crate is too big, some might say, okay, I'll go and pee and poop in one end, and then I'll go sit in the other end. You actually need it small enough sometimes with the problem house trainers that if they go in their bedroom, they can't get away from it. That's the motivation they need to learn to control. Okay. And then you make it bigger as they get bigger. The solid ones or crates that don't come with partitions, you can just put a box in the back of the crate or half the crate to make it smaller. All right. Now, then what I want to most especially want to take you through is basic crate trainings. Had to do this yesterday with my clients because they had a 15, 16 week old mini Aussie puppy. And they had a crate, but they didn't know how to keep her in it without her fussing and screaming and pitching a fit. So we solved all of that. So when you get a puppy, you can start using the crate right away. I recommend that the first day you go through crate training and Martha's little Aunt Martha's crate rituals. Now, I'm looking at the clock, Nathan, and it looks like we're due to take care of advertisers. And this little crate training will take 5 minutes or so. So why don't we go ahead and take care of advertisers? And then when we pick up, Walter and Nathan, we will go through the crate training process with the puppy. So everybody's good. Then we'll get back and finish up the separation. Then we're going to get on to good games and bad games and field trips and coming when called. And my favorite game to play with dogs. We'll find out all about that. So that's all coming up. Oh, and then we got boot camp for dogs. We're going to do that too today. So lots coming up, so stay right where you are.
Does your dog or cat have a health or mobility problem that is not responding to standard veterinary care? Are you looking for a non-medical alternative? I'm Nels Rasmussen, retired chiropractor and spiritual healer. I've helped people and pets all over the world to get their happy, active lives back when nothing else has worked. To learn more, go to healingministryforanimals.com. Go to healingministryforanimals.com now.
Hi, this is Martha. Did you know that besides hosting Animal World, I'm also an animal behavior therapist and trainer with more than 40 years of professional experience? I work with you privately in your home or over the phone to help you understand your animal friends and resolve whatever behavior training or healing problems you've got going on. Most of my expertise is with cats and dogs, but I sometimes work with other types of animals as well. So whether it's puppies or kittens, adult dogs or cats, or elderly animal issues, I can help. Cats not using the litter box? Biting or scratching you or your furniture? Maybe they're fighting with each other or waking you up at night. I've got answers. Dogs barking too much, jumping or dragging you around the block on your walk? Does he have separation anxiety or chew up stuff he shouldn't? I've got answers. Whatever's going on with your animal friends, I will help you fix it. I am more than reasonably priced and often need to see you only once. I always do a free, no-obligation telephone evaluation, so give me a call and bug my voicemail if you need immediate attention. You'll find me at Martha's Canine, Feline, and All Creature Counseling at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258, and I'd love to hear from you.
Hi, this is Stacy, and you're listening to a very special encore presentation of Animal World. We'll all be back in the studio again next Sunday at 9 a.m. for another live show. So be sure to join us right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
I'm joined today by Walter Stoffel. He is author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. And we're doing the next installment. Is this number 8, Nathan? number 8 of our behavior teaching shows. So if you by chance are just tuning in and realizing that I'm teaching all kinds of really good behavior and training stuff for dogs, all of the shows we've done so far are in our audio archives. And all you have to do is go to the Animal World website, MarthaNorwalk.com, and click on the audio archive link. And then you can go back and listen to all the previous shows that we've done together and catch up on all these details. And when we get done with all these exercises and general things and all of that, then we're going to start doing individual cases. We'll start with breaking down Lance's case. But then we've got a bunch of emails that Walter has received from his listeners or readers and so forth that have problems with their dogs. But I'm kind of thinking we might want to line up some of those people, Walter, and have people call in, and we'll actually do calls about behavior, you know, once we get done with all the general stuff. Anyway, so let's see. We were in the middle of talking crates and crate training because I'm starting. Well, we're in the middle of separation anxiety and separation issues, but I got taken back to the fact that we got puppies. You want to start out right to avoid separation anxiety and separation issues. And now, often separation anxiety is not under the owner's control. There's physical stuff involved. Separation issues definitely are. And I'm going to stress what I already mentioned is that separation for dogs does not come naturally to them. It doesn't happen in their own world. So we have to teach them that it's okay to be separated from us. And there's no reason to flip your cookies because the world is not coming to an end. Now, unfortunately, when we're raising dogs and stuff and kids like that, sometimes, you know, they just have to go through stuff and realize that the world doesn't come to an end. So then it makes it easier to deal with. Anyway, so with the separation stuff, we want to teach puppies off right. So this is for anybody who's got puppies, going to have puppies, ever going to get puppies again in their life. This is how you crate train. We talked about the style of the crate. We talked about the size of the crate. Now, you're going to use a crate. The way that you officially use a crate with a puppy, you crate them at night when you're sleeping, during the day when you're gone, when you're home and you choose not to supervise. Now, the best place for puppies to sleep is in the owner's bedroom, but not in the bed. So the best place to raise puppies and have them sleep at night is in their crate in your bedroom. Now, that works for a lot of people and it's great. For some, it does not. You don't have the room or you can't have a dog in the bedroom or for whatever reason. Then the next best place for the crate would be in the most used room of the house. So it could be the family room, could be a kitchen breakfast room area. And some people like to have more than one crate. Some people move their crate around, that the crate is in the bedroom at night. They move it into the kitchen for the daytime. Or we have a crate in the bedroom, but we also have a crate in the family room or the kitchen. Sometimes you have two or even a third crate. Some people like to crate their dogs in the car when they travel. Now, we'll tell you that the rules say that the safest way to transport a dog in a car is to have them in a crate in case something happens. And I'll tell you that when I've had very young puppies, there have been occasions where I have had them in a crate in the car. But usually I teach my dogs to ride in the car and not in a crate from the time they're puppies. But I also don't leave them in the car. If I had to take a puppy somewhere and leave it in the car without supervision, it would have to be crated in order for it not to chew up the car. Nathan, you also were talking a little bit about locations of crates. And, you know, there's a lot of room for creativity here. Some people make them an end table, you know, and the crate's the table. And they if it's a solid crate, you have the solid flat top. Or if it's a wire crate, some people put a little board on that covers the top of the crate to make it solid and flat that you can use it as a table. And then you can put a cloth or something over it. It can be in a quiet corner of the room. They do like dense spaces. You know, you'll find your dog sometimes crawling under the tables or behind stuff or inside of stuff just because they're den animals and that works. But so there aren't a lot of rules as to where the crate you know, goes, and there's a lot of room for creativity. But does that kind of cover those bases, Nathan?
I mean, you basically answered it when you're saying to put it in the most used rooms of your house, like your bedroom or living room.
Yeah, like you don't want to put the crate in the garage, you know. Now, every once in a while, somebody, you know, the crate's in the laundry room or something, and then sometimes that can work. But the ideal place is a room where you spend lots of time, and you can move it to the bedroom and back. You can have one in each place, or you can just have them in the bedroom and use it all the time there, or just have it in the family room or kitchen and use it there all the time. So we're good on all of that? Okay.
Now, hey, Martha, I have a question.
Yeah.
Do you have, what's your personal opinion about people that let their dogs sleep with them on their bed?
Okay. Well, used to be decades ago, that was like a cardinal sin when you're raising a dog. But and remember, I told you the best place for puppies to sleep at night is in the crate, you know, is in the bedroom, but not in the, you know, but not in the bed, in a crate in the bedroom.
Yeah, we're
and the reason it's not a good idea to have puppies start sleeping in the bed with you is because it's like a litter nest situation, and it puts you on a real equal level with the puppy, and it can really mess up the detail and you being the alpha, the leader. So it can lead to bad behavior on the part of the dog and confusion on their part as to where they fit in the pecking order. It can also relate to this separation stuff. Remember, we have to work to find ways to teach dogs it's a good thing to be separated, because that doesn't come naturally to them. Now, later in life when the dog sleeps with you, so my Robbie, he slept in his crate for the first 2 years of his life. Then it was weaned off the crate, and for a while he was not allowed down into the area of the house where my bedroom is, because I had separated him away from the cat stuff. But when he earned his privileges and had grown up enough to respect everything and, you know, leave cat boxes alone and everybody's integrated and all of that, then Robbie had full run of the whole house. Well, Robbie now will get on the bed and sleep with me sometimes and sometimes not. Now, a golden retriever is not a dog that will generally sleep on the bed with you all night long, because they have too much coat and their body temperature's higher than ours anyway. They get too hot. So Robbie will start on the bed with me, but as soon as I turn out the light, he jumps off and then goes lays on the cool flat floor in the, you know, the hall. So there's nothing. So if you've got an adult dog now and your dog is fine, you don't have any problems, you don't need Aunt Martha to straighten stuff out because you're going nuts because your dog's driving you crazy. You got a good dog and everything's good in your relationship. Well, they can sleep wherever you want them to sleep, or they want to sleep. And if you want them sleeping in bed, that's just fine. And there's some dogs that even like to get under the covers, you know, like Dobermans have a single hair coat, so they get cold. So Dobies are dogs that don't just want on the bed. They want in the bed. And Dobermans will sleep under the covers, under the sheets, head on the pillow, right next to you in the bed. And there's nothing wrong with that if there's nothing wrong with your relationship and behavior stuff. Okay. So often I come into a situation, we got a laundry list of problems, and the dog's real out of control. And the dog's spoiled, you know what, rotten, and the dog's sleeping in bed. So sometimes the question, with a terror on the looks of the owners, are you going to make us kick the dog out of bed? Well, now, decades ago, I used to kick the dogs out of bed because it's a litter nest situation, and it's not necessarily a good thing for relationships. But over the years, you know, I've had to learn to be flexible, and I've had to learn I don't know all the answers, and it's not just my way or the highway, that what works for one situation may not work for another, and I got to be able to create and do it on the fly and all that sort of stuff. So where I came to the bed thing, I said, it can be really important to people to sleep with their dogs. So I rarely kick dogs, adult dogs, out of bed that have behavior problems. I have found many other ways to establish leadership and change behavior and all of that. We don't usually have to kick them out of bed. Now, the only time that kicking them out of bed is usually necessary is if we're dealing with owner-directed aggression. So if the dog bites you, then we got to kick them out of bed until we rehabilitate them and stop them biting their owners. And then they can be invited back into bed when they've learned to behave themselves. So owner-directed aggression is the big reason now, and probably one of the only reason I would kick dogs out of bed, unless, of course, the owner says, dog's in bed, I don't want him in bed. Now, that, oh, okay, case coming in. Older couple, slept in different bedrooms. Wife doesn't like sleeping with dogs, doesn't want dog in bedroom, so the dogs sleep in the husband's bedroom. One dog died, they always have two, so they got another little dog, rescue, adult, and she bonded really strongly with the wife, but not with the husband, and that was, I was there, because the dog loved the wife, hated the husband, and so anyway. One of the problems on the list was that the dog wouldn't sleep with the husband. The dog had to be with the wife, and the dog would pitch a fit and bark at the door and whine at the scratch on her bedroom door. And so they'd given up, and the dog had to sleep with her in the bedroom, and she hates to sleep with dogs. And so she wasn't getting any sleep. There's a big problem. So they thought, this is going to be horrible to try to keep the dog not sleeping. Well, there's a little trick for this. So what we did, I had them do, is a sound interrupt from outside the room. Now, you should remember what sound interrupts are, because we talked about that in the correctional teaching sequences. You know, sound interrupts, sound other than your voice or hands, lasting only a second in duration, loud enough to startle the dog from a source they can't see. That's a true sound interruption. So what we did was, this dog was old enough, could be loose in the house. We didn't have house training problems. We didn't have, you know, destructive chewing problems, anything like this. So husband's bed room could be open, and beds on the floor, and the other dog slept in there. The wife's dog now could start with the husband, but then when the wife went off to her bedroom, she was leaving her door open, and the dog was, because the dog wouldn't stay out of the room and was pitching a fit. So when I had her do that first night, I said, okay, when you go to bed at night, you're going to explain to the dog that she's to sleep in your husband's room, but that you need your privacy at night. So you're going to go into the bedroom before you're actually going to turn out the light and go to sleep. So go to bed and read for a half hour or something. To go in, close the door. What we're waiting for is the dog to come to the door and start pawing at the door. Now, this is all about the dog wanting the attention of the owner and to be back with the wife. So you got to remember the principle when you're dealing with young children as well as dogs, that I lost my train of thought. Well, let's see. I'm sure it will come back again. Let me wet my whistle. So at any rate, yes. When it comes to young children or young dogs, negative attention can be just as rewarding as positive, particularly if it's the majority of what you get and it's always better than nothing. So think about this. Wife's in the bed, the door is closed in the bedroom. Dog comes to the door, starts scratching at the door. Well, if the owner gets up out of bed, goes and opens the door, even if it's to correct the dog and yell at the dog or do a sound or whatever it's going to be, sometimes that's better than being ignored completely. And they'd rather you come out and yell at them or correct them than ignore them completely. So if you're going to open the door and engage with the dog, the correction has to be so powerful that it overrides the positiveness of the negative attention. Does that make sense?
So would it be something like open the door, give a firm no, and close the door?
No, the secret is you don't open the door and you don't engage with the dog. There's no verbal correction involved. The only thing you're going to do is sound interrupt from outside the room. Well, the dog's in the hall, so I'm considering the hall a room. So what the owner does, and what I had her do, was you go to bed a little early with your book, get in bed, close the door, get in bed. Wait for the dog, come to the door. When the dog starts fussing at the door, you just calmly get up out of bed. You walk over to the door. Then you take the flat of your hand and you go down about eye level to the dog on the door and you bang the door once. You don't say anything. You just bang the door once, the dog will stop. Now, it'll start up again in a little bit. You bang the door again, the dog will stop, and it will stop for longer. Each time you bang, the dog will stop for longer. I have never had it take more than three bangs. The dog gets up, gives up, and just goes away. Now, I explained that to my client. She said, "Martha, you gotta be freaking nuts. There's no way that's," "this is the craziest dog, not gonna work." I said, "Just try it. Doesn't hurt to try. And if it's not working, call me. I'm a night person." I got no call that night. I did get a call the next morning. "Martha, it was a miracle. I took two taps on the door. She went and she slept all night quietly away, never bothered the door again. I got the first good night's sleep I've had in weeks." Okay, so that sound interrupt from outside the door, it can be very, very helpful. Okay, so now we're going to get back to the crate business. And the important thing is here, when it comes to all this separation stuff, if you, we've got to take care of advertisers. I get into teaching mode and it's like, we don't have to do commercials when I'm doing a session. So we will take care of advertisers. And once we do that, crate training 101 coming up.
Do you feel overwhelmed by the people around you or the energies you encounter daily in today's world? When the drama and the emotions wear you down, it's important to have the tools to deal with the challenges life is bringing your way. And that's where Natasha Venter can help. Natasha is a medium and an intuitive personal awareness coach who is inspired to help those walking through the emotions and grief of today's energies. Visit Natasha's website, angelicclarifications.com, to discover how her unique skills and compassionate approach can help. That's angelicclarifications.com. There's no need to carry the load by yourself. Learn more at angelicclarifications.com.
Would you like to access portals of possibilities for transformation, consciousness, expansion, and new experiences of health and well-being? Ancient knowledge and new science tell us that everything manifests from vibratory frequencies. Jude Ponton can assist you in shifting frequencies for personal health, aligning and balancing your energy or the energy of your home, property, or workspace. Jude can work with you remotely, office, or on-site if you live in the Seattle area. Jude can also teach classes in the Accutonic Sound Healing System. Check out whispering-dragon.com. That's whispering-dragon.com for descriptions of services. Or call 206-706-2836. That's 206-706-2836. You can even email resonate@whispering-dragon.com for information or to schedule sessions.
Hi, this is Martha Norwalk, host of Animal World, and I've got a question for you. Do you or anyone you know own a business, offer a service, or a product that does something good for animals, humans, or this planet? If the answer is yes, then I'd like to invite you to become a member of the Animal World family of advertisers. Lately, people are telling me they think radio advertising is exorbitantly expensive. Well, that can be true, but not on Animal World. Did you know that for as little as $45 a week, you can have two professionally written and produced commercials at no cost to you running on the show? You also get a link to your website on the homepage of the Animal World website and two live interviews on the show. Frankly, you can't afford not to do this. So if you'd like to join our great Animal World family of advertisers, or if you need more information, go to www.marthanorwalk.com to send me an email or call me at 360-217-7258. That's 360-217-7258. Come on, give me a call and join the family. We'd love to have you.
Hi, this is Nathan coming to you from behind the board. And today we have a very special encore presentation of Martha Norwalk's Animal World. From all of us in the Animal World family, we wish you all a happy weekend, and we look forward to being with you again on next week's live show from 9 a.m. to noon on Sunday, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
are back. Walter Stoffel is here, author of Lance, A Spirit Unbroken. Nathan is here, and we're continuing with teaching and crate training 101. So when you get your puppy, you got to have your crate and you got to be ready to go. And I say you do this crate training. One day, doing this crate training, you'll be good to go and to use it. So what you do is whatever crate you have, you bring it in to your like family type room where you're going to be, you spend time, and you bring it in and you're going to do this like, you know, you could do this just sitting watching TV or reading a book or whatever you do. But let's say you're all, you know, you're sitting watching TV. So what you do is you get the crate, you open it up. Well, let's see. Now, of course, the first thing's coming in. Should there be bedding in the crate? Well, most puppies can't handle bedding in their crate and need a bare, flat bottom of the crate. And that would be that's most of your medium to large size dogs, especially your sporting and working breeds, don't usually tolerate bedding well. The smaller breeds can often handle bedding and be okay, but the rules are you can have bedding in your crate unless you chew it up and destroy it or you pee and poop in it. Then it goes out. All right. Anyway, crate's there. And the first little step is that you can do a little fun run in the crate. You want a little tasty little food reward. I use string cheese, and a food reward only needs to be large enough to taste. Remember that. And you just, you know, toss it in the crate. And when they go trotting in their crate, you say, good, 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 good. And I don't call it a crate or say kennel up. I call it Robbie's house. So I say, get in your house. Or you could say, go to bed. I like a word that has a better feeling to it. So when like with Robbie, it'd be, you know, get in your house and throw a little treat in and run in and out. Now, I'm going to bring this up just because I got Robbie from a private party. They weren't official breeders, but the mother did some breeding with a golden. This was a daughter who bred her golden. And so the puppies were raised in their home. Well, she was really wonderful. And what she allowed us to do, the new prospective buyers of the puppies, she allowed us to bring our own crates to her house a few weeks before the puppies were ready to come home with us. So I drove all the way over to Hoodsport with Robbie's crate, and I left it with them. And so then they set up all of the new owner's crates in their kitchen, and they started crate training the puppies before they ever sold them. And so the puppies, instead of being confined together in crates at night from 6 to 8 weeks, they were confined next to each other in their own crates. So the wonder of that is, if you're close enough to a breeder and you're doing that and you could get the breeder to do this, then you don't have any crate training to do. Your dog comes already crate trained with your own crate. So that's a real bonus. But if not, then you got this crate and you do, you know, little treats, running them in and out for treats. Now, then when you're ready to bite the bullet and do the training process, you talk happy throughout this process. You don't make this an order like get in your house or go to bed. You got to act like this is a great thing. So you can just march the puppy or pick up the puppy and talk happy. Get in your house, get in your house, get in your house, shove them on in, close the door. And you just tell them, stay in your house and be quiet. Now, you're not going anywhere. You're going to be right there and you're going to sit right back down. And what you need to know, if your dog can't do good in the crate with you right there, the dog can't do it right when you're not there. Okay. So many people think crates are bad and wrong. They don't want to use them. And so they avoid it. And so they don't put the dog in the crate until the last minute when they have to leave them and leave the house. And the dog flips his cookies. Well, rightly so, because that's a dumb way to do it. All right. So we prepare them for all of this. So running in. Now, put them in, close the door, stand there and be quiet, go sit down. Now, if they fuss a little bit, just for a second or two, you can ignore it because they might just be settling and then settle in. And now, if they are quiet and not fussing and not scratching at the door, you can occasionally praise them. Good house, good quiet, good house, good quiet. Now, if they start to fuss, you're not going to let them get into a big frenzy. But if they're pawing at the crate or they're whining or fussing, you just calmly get up, go over to the crate, take the flat of your hand and bang the door. Or if solid crate, bang the top of the door. Okay. You could shake the penny can. You know, you use one of the training tool noises that we talked about early on when we did training tools. But whatever it is, the big bang works a sound interrupted, and you're interrupting the behavior, and they'll shut up. Now, as soon as you bang and they quiet, then you tell them what the problem was. No, be quiet. In your best, I mean, business tone of voice. But remember, you're acting. You can't be angry. No, be quiet. Then go back and sit down. They fuss again. You get up. You over. You bang the crate. No, be quiet. Go back and sit down. Now, some puppies will be fussier than others, and some will be brattier than others. And if you have to correct more than three times, then you have to cover the crate. So you get a big sheet and throw it over the crate. And that's like turning the lights out on a bird. And 99% of the time, that settles them right down. Some puppies need the crate covered for a while until they get used to denning up in their crate, and then they don't need the cover anymore. And if you end up crating you're crating dogs until they're up to a year and a half old before you wean off. And if they end up being dogs that need to be covered all the time, if you have a wire crate, one of the problems that can happen with antsy dogs is they'll pull the cover in through the wires. So what I have people do with that is put a piece of plywood or a light board on top of the crate that's the same shape, rectangular shape as the crate, but hangs out a couple inches over the sides of the crate. So you can throw a sheet over it and the sheet will hang down around the crate, but they can't grab it through the wire. All right. So puppies in the crate. If we had to correct, we corrected. Puppy, you once in a while, you can say, good house, good quiet. And when you close the door, you set the timer for 5 minutes. Once they've been quiet in there for 5 minutes, you go back to the crate. And before you open the door, you praise them and tell them what a good job they did. Good house, good crate, good quiet. Oh, you did so good. Good house, good quiet. Then you open the door and let them out. The key here is you must ignore them when you let them out, because they're going to blow out of the crate and say, oh God, that was awful. I was confined. I was away from you. Oh, it was awful. Love me, love me, love me, please. Okay. You just have to ignore that. You completely ignore them till they settle down. They aren't bugging you anymore. Then you put them back in your house, in, close the door, 10 minutes this time. Same thing. Have to be quiet. Praise them. Let them out. Ignore. Put them back in, close the door, 15 minutes. Let them out, ignore, back in, 20 minutes. Let them out, ignore, back in, 25 minutes. Let them out, ignore, back in, 30 minutes. When they can do 30 minutes in their crate and be quiet and not have to be corrected and you're still in the room, you are good to go. And you can start using it that night in your bedroom or wherever you're going to have them for sleeping at night. And you know how to do it. Anyway, that is the way you do the initial crate training, get them integrated. And you're right off the bat, you're addressing all these separation issues because they learn to be separated from you when they are crated and you are not there. And then you're going to use the crate at night when you're sleeping, during the day when you're gone, when you're home and you choose not to supervise. All right. So does that all make sense to everybody?
Yes, it does.
Cool. All right. So we did all the crate stuff. Now we've got to do the last of the separation thing. That's the one ritual that you would use. We'll start up the second, the last hour with that and then get to all the rest of the general stuff. So we got to gear up now as last hour, the dancing and exercise portion of the show is required. Dancing is required, but you can dance in your head. You can dance in your bed. You can dance in your chair. You can dance anywhere. Get up with us. We'll cruise by and pick you up. But we got to get ourselves moving again after lockdown and all of that. And this gets our juices flowing and energy up for the day and the week. And our listeners, chiropractors, say it is the best exercise to do at home. So dancing's required. And I energize up the music with our energy, our yogi energization prayer. And while you're doing your dancing, make sure you're sending love and light around the world and peace and harmony. And let's blanket the whole world with peace and harmony, love and light. All right, here we go with our energization prayer. Oh, infinite spirit, recharge our bodies with thy conscious cosmic energy, our minds with thy concentration and determination, our souls and all souls with thy ever new joy. O eternal youth, the body and mind, abide in me forever and forever. Stay right where you are. More with Walter and behavior teaching and training straight ahead, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.